Pastor L, I may as well go home. Where are you? There he is. He just sang it all what I was going to say this morning. So there you go. You get it twice. So there must be some meaning for this. And I just really appreciate the awesome songs that he chose this morning. And I had no idea until I sat down this morning at prayer time and realized that Christmas is only a month away. So that's great. And I believe it's just never too early to talk about Christmas, the Advent season that we're heading into. And, you know, my neighbor has had his Christmas decorations up and on every day since October 22nd. And, you know, the stores and they were pushing out the costumes and the candy. My goodness. Well before October 31st, and they were already bringing in Christmas. So they're a lot ahead more than I am. But I know that we believe that there is more to Christmas than the decorations, the food, the cookies, the cakes, the parties, the concerts, and of course, the presents. And it is the Christ of Christmas, God's present to us. And this morning, I just want to camp on a familiar scripture of the Christmas story and somehow prepare our hearts and our spirits to receive that good news now and all year long. And hopefully bring a fresh look to that Christmas story and how scripture relates not only to the story then, but how important it is, because scripture is inspired by God for us. That God was at work at the first Christmas, and he is the God that is at work this Christmas. Can you count the number of times that you've heard the story Luke 2 read? Well, I turned 60 this fall, so if you take at least once every 60 years, I've read, 300 times. Let's talk about rehearsals, concerts, my kids' Christmas concerts, their rehearsals, all the different stories, some of the movies, and the verses just I've read at home on my own. I lose count how many times I've read that story. And you know, it can become just a story. It can become something that is just repetitive in our life, something that we expect, or just something that we do over and over and over again. It's like heading out the door to go to church or to work. You get in your vehicle or you get to church and you're sitting here and you're thinking, did I unplug my curling iron? Huh, did I turn the burner off? Did I turn out the lights? Did I unplug the iron? Did I close that garage door? You haven't thought that, have you? What did you forget to turn off this morning? I hope I remembered. But if we gloss over that Christmas story, we miss the true beauty and the many aspects this story has for us and that it has for others, for our lives and for the ability that it gives us to witness to others and to those who do not know Jesus, to those that are struggling in their faith, in their grief, in their loss, in their pain. Do you think of Christmas as a season of great grief? And perhaps you've lost a dear one this year. And it'll be your first Christmas without their presence. Not their gift, but their presence of who they are. Divorce, separation. Perhaps it's a season for you of untold, unfulfilled promises. A job loss. The gift you never received. Broken friendships. Or relationships, an engagement that never happened? How about loneliness? Christmas of stress, the huge amounts of baking, the shopping, the wrapping, the decorating, the parties, the concerts, the rehearsals, the family gatherings that get so stressful, arguments break out and there's fights. Am I making you stressed? One time I had high expectations of the season, and over the years, and you can ask my family, I was probably Mrs. Christmas. But it was foolish of me to do some of the traditions that I thought were important and that I was trying to maintain, because they were robbing me of a Christmas blessing. Because I was so focused on performance and acceptance. I've asked my a young lady in the congregation to come and read the story this morning, and it'll be up on the screen, the scripture from the Bible in Luke 2. I'm asking my granddaughter Katie to come and read for us, and she's going to come up here and read. We'll give you this one here. Looks like it's on. Test? No? The other one? Here you go. You deal with that.
Working now? There you go. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world.
I'm going to stop you for a second. If you want to just close your eyes and just listen to the scripture being read, try to put out of your mind all of the other things that you've heard about this story, the preconceived ideas or some of the sermons that you heard. And let's look at it afresh this morning. Sorry, Katie, go ahead.
This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thank you, Caitlin. Well, I was going to run some scriptures by you and just kind of show you some of the interesting facts about this whole Christmas story. And it actually, in the chronological order of things, if you look at this here, what's out of order is the wise men really didn't show up at Christmas on the first birth. They showed up a few days later. And if you read in your Bible, it tells them that they showed up at their home in Nazareth, in Bethlehem. So it's just kind of some interesting things there. What I want to look at today is, and there are some sermon notes for you if you want to write these down, five Christmas blessings from God that speak to us from the same God that was at work this first Christmas as he is today. And the first blessing we're going to look at is, he is the God who brings you good news. We hear a lot of bad news in the world: bombings, captures, ransom demands for people, for ships, unspeakable tortures to not only Christians but other people, killings for religious beliefs, school shootings, drugs, floods, tornadoes, hurricanes, wars. And we've just heard about some of those in the news lately. And I should add in there the politicians. But hurts that go beyond painful. Such bad news reminds us the worst of the evil that we face, and that's the devil working in concert with an aging world. He's working for our worst, and that's all bad news. But the greatest good news in all of this, and is for us today, is the angel announcing the message of God's goodwill towards men. Fear not. He says, fear not. Do you hear the compassion and the care that he has for us in the fear not? I mean, that's kind of a phrase you can't say really angry, can you? Fear not. Like it just doesn't happen that way. It's fear not what you see in this world. Fear not what this world brings in your path. Fear not the grief, the illness, the loss of finances. Fear not, I bring you good tidings. And for some of you, this is what you need to hear. Fear not. God's angels announce the wonderful message of God's goodwill towards mankind, and God is saying it's time for our relationship to be healed from the Garden of Eden. It's time to restore that which was lost, and for mankind once again to draw near to God. God didn't show up to man as a warrior or a political leader or a king or a mother or a father, because he knew that so many people had already been hurt by people in authority. So he chose to come in the form of a helpless babe to show his love. And that was a babe to be gazed at upon in wonder and completely free of us fearing him. God set aside his deity to come as the baby Jesus. Jesus is the help for hurting hearts. And Jesus offers that reconciliation to man to come without fear to a loving, caring God. Fear not. He offers salvation and deliverance to all people. Our blessing, God, brings the good news of his love towards us. The second Christmas blessing, he is the God who does the impossible for you. As we watched Mary be reassured in her confusion, her unrest, her unsuredness, her instability, that God can make a way when it seems impossible. Her life changed dramatically in those few minutes with Gabriel. Her reputation, her religious thinking, her body, and even her very life was in question. Luke 1:30 says, "Fear not, Mary, for the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, for nothing is impossible with God." So when our way is so dramatically changed, our God is there with his compassion and comfort to give us that peace that passes all understanding. When our reputation is in question, when we are misunderstood, when we're forgotten, the power of the Most High will overshadow you and protect you, for nothing is impossible with God. The third Christmas blessing, he's the God who answers prayer. The Bible tells us our God is not like the idols that have no ears and can't hear. Our God is not deaf. He doesn't need hearing aids. God doesn't ignore us. It may seem so, but we're always, always under his superintending care, like the parent that's watching over a child and letting them go only so far as their boundaries. But often we feel our prayers have only gone as far as the ceiling or as far as that dark cloud that seems to hang over us and never move, a feeling that our prayers just aren't penetrating to heaven. But we read from Daniel from the lion's den, when he was visited by the same angel Gabriel, he explained to Daniel that his prayer had been heard and God had dispatched him. But you know what? Gabriel ran into Satan, we're told. and he held him up for a while. So we don't know reasons why our prayers are on hold. But I know for most times, prayers are on hold because of my relationship. My relationship with God is out of order, and I need to make it right. You know what? My attitude will stink, and it just needs to get fixed. When I pray to God that person over there, they hurt me. They attacked my reputation and my character. A bolt of lightning from heaven right now would be just the right solution. Help me. Anytime. But it's only when I pray, God, forgive them. They know not what they did. They're being used by Satan and they didn't even know it. Help me see beyond my feelings and my emotions. It's then that my prayers will be answered. So who do you talk to when you need a listener? Is it everyone who will entertain you and listen to your problems, your issues, or complaints? You know, God is the only one with the answer. So why would we not listen to him? He's the only one that has our best interests at heart. He doesn't want, I believe God doesn't want our prayers to sound like somebody else's prayer. You know, you can go to the school of prayer and you can try out all the promised methods. You can do all the styles that are out there. But our prayers deepen when we set aside all of the methods, all of the styles, all the ways of man, and approach God one-on-one. I make no excuses for how I approach God, what I say when I share my prayers aloud, and neither should you when you're before God. If your prayers are coming from your heart, never make excuses. Never say, I can't pray like those other Christians. Well, of course not. You're not them. Or say, my prayers sound so childish. Well, yeah, you're a child of God. You're a child of the King. So why would they not? Don't try to be who you're not. God has accepted you for who you are. And I'll add on top of that, don't criticize others. But God said it through his angel to Zechariah. Fear not, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. The fourth Christmas blessing. For he is the God who guides your steps. When we have questions of guidance, directions, and what to do come forth, always remember that God has your best interests in heart. He guides you just like he did Joseph. In a dream, he said to Joseph, "Thou son of David, fear not to take Mary home as your wife." Then Joseph did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him. You know, we all need guidance. We're all faced with decisions that we have to make about jobs, what to do with our lives, about relationship, about marriage, where to live, what to do with our finances, anything to do about finances. But the good news is, like Joseph, we're not on our own. We may not have an angel like Gabriel to drop down beside us to bring us direction and confirmations, but we have God. We don't need to go it alone. Guidance is about our relationship with God. And Jesus says in John 7:27, "My sheep," those people following him, "hear his voice. I know them and they follow me." Like a shepherd guiding his sheep, Jesus leads us. And for those in the Alpha classes, we've studied this concept on God's guidance. We've learned a few things. And in order for us to know what that plan is for our life, all we need to do is ask God. and to be in that right relationship with him. God will guide those who are willing to do what he wants us to do. And Mary had that attitude. She was willing to do whatever. She surrendered to that. So how does God guide us? And I'm going to spend a little moment on here because I get a lot of people that ask me that question. The first way is that God's general will is revealed in his Bible. We don't need to ask about marriage. We know that God's will for us is to live in our marriage and not be drawn aside in adultery and to live in harmony. Because he says in his word we should not commit adultery. We don't need to ask, shall I give an offering, a gift, or a tithe? Yes, we're to give and we're to do it happily. Because that's what his word tells us. Shall we forgive? Yes, the Bible says we must forgive. It's in his word. We know that what God's general will is because it's revealed in his word. The second is a compelling spirit. We know because we recognize the voice. We know that we know. Our relationship with Jesus is close so that we know what he sounds like. We know what that little voice is that's whispering in our ear, in our heart. So it can be through asking and listening in prayer, but sometimes God speaks to us by giving us a strong desire to do something. We know that we know that we know. The third is common sense. And we're not called to abandon our common sense when we become Christians. Because one of the main characteristics that separate mankind from the animal kingdom is reason. He wants us to question. So we need to ask ourselves questions. What am I good at? What do I like doing? What are my gifts? We have the ability to think and choose what we need to do. And yes, even have the ability to choose who we marry. We have the counsel of that Holy Spirit to guide us. Fourth, we have the counsel of wise believers. Well, it just makes sense. Trusted, proven saints can help point our way, not tell us how to get there, but to help point us the way. And fifth is circumstantial signs, the sovereign providence of God. God is sovereign and he is able to guide us through events. When we commit our ways to God, we can know that he will act. There will be an order as God guides our steps because he opens one door and one door closes. So God guides our steps. And if we follow those, then we know that we are with God and that we will be blessed through his guidance. The fifth Christmas blessing, and I close with this, is God wants us to share the good news with others. Luke 2:8-10. The shepherds are viewing the most spectacular cosmic event ever. I don't know about you, what you would have done when you saw that, but I think I would have been a little bit fearful that the sky was falling. But they witnessed all of this. The confirmation of baby Jesus. And they could do nothing but, when you read the scriptures, sing, dance, and tell others what they personally saw. It was from their hearts that they shared. They didn't have the Twitter, the Facebook, the emails, and all of those to spread the good news. They just went and told others about it. God is all about love. Everything God does is wrapped in love. When you're hurting, when you have lost it all, when you're confused and you're broken and you're angry at God, it is hard to see and feel and know God, that God of love. When I became a Christian, I could do nothing but share those experiences that I had of God's love. And I found out that many people never understood, but there were a lot who believed and follow Jesus to this day. But I officiated at a funeral a couple weeks ago, and it was kind of sad. Not in the way that you think, but the woman was 92 years old when she passed away, and her family was devastated. And before I met the family, I met with the daughter, who was probably about 68 years old, and she was very close to her mom, as were the rest of her siblings. But I asked her if her mom had a favorite scripture. And there was this long silence, and lady had her head down, and she said, "No, I don't think so. My mom never talked about that." It was when I met the family and asked if there was a faith background. I mean, I was searching for something. And they all shook their head and said, "No, mom never talked about that." As I began to interview this family, it was discovered that, you know what, she had taught Sunday school for 14 consecutive years. And she had actually won a really nice pin that they added consecutive bars to every year, and she had certificates and stuff. Her children never knew this. As far as I can tell, the mother never shared her quiet faith, because I believe there was something there. You can't teach Sunday school for 14 years and not have something there. I found it was a heartbreak. What a loss for them. But what an opportunity for me to share with them the good news. The reason I want to talk about Jesus is I love him and I want to get to know more about him. You know, often we ask ladies, men, when you met the love of your life, you couldn't help talking about them. You know, their hair, how good looking they were, the things that you were doing together, and all of these things. And you know what? We have an amazing God. We have amazing good news. We have a God that loves us. And we are able to share with others that love of Jesus Christ that we have because we love him. Guess what he did today for me? Look where he brought me today. Look who I was able to share with today that I've never been able to do that before. You know, those are the kinds of things in the good news that we need to be sharing. Because this Christmas season brings us untold opportunities to share what Jesus has done in our life. And that's why I wanted to talk about Christmas a month early. To give you opportunity in the time that you're getting your festivities ready, to encourage others in their Christian faith, to ask your Muslim, your Hindi, your Asian neighbor, because you saw that there was Christmas decorations in their home, to tell you what traditions they are celebrating, and to be able to affirm them in that, in what the Holy Spirit is showing you to talk to them about. So you can watch for those things. I have several neighbors in my neighborhood. I know they're Muslim. I know they're Hindi. But I know they have Christmas ornaments and trees and that in their home. And it is a wonderful opportunity to begin that process of not confronting, but finding that common ground where you can begin to build that relationship with them in a non-threatening way. I love the music of the season. You know what, especially when I'm in the stores, they're all playing it now. And I most often stop and thank God for that store for sharing the Christmas message in song. And for the staff that on a daily basis, they hear that message. They hear that message being played in song. And for the busy shoppers, I pray that they too would hear that song and that their lives would truly experience a Christmas blessing. to those I meet, it's just not Merry Christmas, but it's Christmas blessing to you and to your family. So when Christmas ceases to be about what we can get or how much we can give, and it starts to be about glorifying God, then you're on your way to that Christmas blessing. I'm not saying don't give up what you do at Christmas, the wrappings and the Christmas that we celebrate. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking for a balance in our lives, that we could bring that all into balance and into perspective, but first and foremost, that we would put God first in all that we do and glorify Him. And that ought to be our message throughout the whole year, not just this season, but throughout the year. Because we, God help us, tell a lost and dying world about a loving, caring, giving Savior who can give them grace, peace, hope, love, joy, blessing, and salvation. Are you missing out? By not sharing that Christmas message, that Christmas blessing, the good news, are you missing out because you really don't know the Christmas blessing? The Christmas blessing of the good news, it is for you. And if you don't know it, God doesn't want you to die without experiencing that Christmas blessing by accepting Him. And it's as simple as asking yourself. You can ask yourself, what would you experience today by choosing to let go of those preconceived ideas, those thoughts, those notions about God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit? And if you choose to accept that blessing, to accept God's message of the good news, it is, fear not. Fear not. There will be a Christmas blessing of knowing that the God of impossibilities, that only he can make a way. There's a Christmas blessing of knowing that your prayers will be answered. There will be the Christmas blessing of knowing that He is guiding your steps at all times. And there will be a Christmas blessing knowing that you had a small part to share in sharing the good news of the Christmas blessing. And as I close in prayer, I'd like to ask if the prayer team comes forward and the music team come. That you would just take a moment to just bow your heads in reverence to God and to those around you. And just take a moment. God of all creation, You are mighty, You are holy, and my heart echoes the cry of Mary. My soul glorifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Your mercy extends to all who revere You. Thank You for the Christmas blessing, for Your love towards us, for Your good news, for working the impossibilities in our lives, for answered prayer, for guiding our steps, for allowing us to share the good news. As we head closer to the day we celebrate Your blessing, mankind, may we be a blessing to others. Help us, for we desperately need Your help in this time of unspeakable evil, to live our lives in a way that will change those around us. Bring comfort to those who are grieving losses in their life. And may I ask You, Father, to keep my church family, my brothers and my sisters, in Your ever-watchful eye. And Father, I pray that you will continue to surround Pastor Sion and his family with your angels as you encamp around them, Father, watching over them. May they experience this season a renewed freshness of your blessings towards them. Father, we thank you. We give you honor. We give you glory. And we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.